was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, where you can find his information at is courtroomwatch.org. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
All right, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I love it when you come on the show with me. It puts a smile on my face, and it helps get some really good intellectual back and forth going on, which is exciting. You know, we love that challenge. Even if it's when callers call in and we may not necessarily agree, we love to go back and forth and kind of work it out so that people on the other end that are listening to us can decide which route that they think is right, and so that they can research it and find it out. So I really love it when you join me on the show. And you're more than welcome, Eric. You're more than welcome, and you know I mean it from my heart.
We all want the same thing, which is freedom.
Absolutely. Freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. Well, tonight, just like last night, we did a little bit of a different situation last night where we wanted to report some good news, and there is so much to cover. However, I want to share with the audience, if they were unable to hear the swearing in of Vice President, at the time, Vice President-elect Mike Pence and President-elect Donald Trump are now the official President of the United States of America, as well as the official Vice President of the United States of America, which I'm sure everybody already knows by now. However, I wanted to share that with you all, and we're going to go over quite a lot of things this evening, Eric, and hopefully it'll put a smile on our listeners' faces. We'll get back to business as usual, everyone, on Monday. However, I believe that in this historic event, it is imperative that we cover this for many reasons, as you will find out when I share the third clip with you all. So, Mike, if you would, this is the official swearing in of Vice President Mike Pence. Mike, please play LV1.
Vice President. Elect, would you raise your right hand and repeat after me? I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear.
I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to our new Vice President of the United States of America, Mike Pence. And now, this official swearing-in of President-elect Donald J. Trump, whom is now officially President of the United States of America. Mike, please play LV2.
Band.
Yeah.
gentlemen, it's an honor to introduce the Chief Justice of the United States, John G. Roberts, Jr., who will administer the presidential oath of office. Everyone, please stand.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Congratulations to President Donald Trump and to all individuals, Eric, that we have stood and fought so long and hard for. And we know this is just the beginning. We know that it's from bottom up, not top down. However, I'm going to tell you some things before I share this next clip that I want you to really pay attention to. One of the things that I noticed at the inauguration that was missing, can you guess what it was, Eric?
I was going to ask you the same question. It really rubs me the wrong way when they say the Constitution of the United States instead of the Constitution for the United States of America. And there is an enormous difference both in spirit and letter. They know exactly what they're doing. I wish Trump would have pulled the Trump card out of his pocket. And when the Chief Justice said, to defend the Constitution of the United States Corporation, he should have said, yes, I will defend the Constitution for the United States of America. And that would have been a really good point, but we'll let it slide.
Right. Well,
that same problem you had, or did you have something else?
It's actually something else, but get this. The next clip is going to make you grin from ear to ear. And the reason that I say that is because he pretty much solidified what you just said in his inaugural address without saying it. So I want to share that with everybody. But before I do that, guess what was missing? There was one more thing missing from the inauguration, and it's a positive thing that it was missing. Can you guess what it was?
I was too hyper-focused on the Constitution thing. What else you got, Lori?
Gold fringe. Gold fringe was missing on those flags.
That's huge. Now that's a big deal.
I did not see one flag. Now there may have been one, but I'm telling you right now, I looked and I did not see not one gold trimmed flag. Not one.
Let's tell the listeners what that means. When there's two kinds of flags. There's the classic historical flag of the United States of America, which is the Stars and Stripes, clean edge, red stripes and white stripes and blue background right to the edge. Then there's the flag when you go into court, especially you will see this. This is the Admiralty flag. It's got gold or yellow fringe all around the whole entire perimeter of the flag. If you don't, it's amazing how it's gone in, and I can see why, because life is hectic and there's a lot of stuff to know and learn and deal with. But this is very important. You can't let this pass by. That's the Admiralty flag. That's the flag that takes you out of common law and puts you under statutory law, as if you were a conscript in the military. And that Admiralty flag with the gold fringe is very bothersome to a free republic. And I'm really glad to see that the fringe was missing and the flag was cut clean and dry like it's supposed to be. Now let's have the memo from on high to let's get rid of the gold fringe Admiralty scam flags throughout the lower courts, you know, federal, state, and county and town courts as well, because that is not the fringe flag is not the flag of freedom.
No, it's not. Now, before I get to this next clip, please, everyone, understand, and I know that most of our listeners already do, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. We know that when certain words are said or it's said in a certain way, you have to read between the lines on what the meaning is. Let me tell you, his inaugural address was so powerful, Eric. And I never, in all of the years, including the historical inaugural addresses, have I ever felt such deep truth as to we are heading on the right path, as to truly the people. And when I mean the people, I'm talking about, of course, we the people are the government, but the reestablishment of the du jour is really, really on its way. The dismantling of that global order, liberal order, whatever you want to call it, because these people are so funny. They just keep changing it. And I'm sorry, everybody, but I find it so amusing. And,
well, if Donald Trump was smart, he'd tell his cabinet, hey, you listen, guys, don't use the word world order anywhere, or you're going to really put us on the you-know-what list for a lot of patriots. And rightfully so. We don't want any world order. We want sovereignty, and we don't want policy implementation. We want diplomacy, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, before I get to this, so I want to let everybody know that when Hillary Clinton was announced at the inauguration, Trump supporters started chanting, lock her up. Which, you know, I found was a little bit of amusing. So I thought I would give you a little bit of a laugh on that. But I want to go ahead and get to President, wow, that's so awesome, President Donald Trump's inaugural address to the people. And after we do that, I will share some more amazing news. And Eric, I'm going to tell you, you know I have never believed in the Washington scam. You know that. Everybody who listens to me knows it. I don't fall for it. But I truly believe, I just do. I believe that this is a turn for the people, not another
neocon scam.
I really don't believe it's a neocon scam. And when you hear this, and then after we hear this, I'm going to share with what has already started today. And I really massively, I'm going to give benefit of the doubt, like I've always told you. We're going to keep an eye on them like a hawk, just like we do with everybody. But I'm telling y'all, pay close attention to the words if you have not already heard this, because this is powerful. Very, very powerful. And then after we hear his speech, we'll point out a couple of things that are really, really important in his speech. Of course, the whole speech was important, but, you know. So if you would, Mike, please go ahead. This is the message from President Donald Trump to the people of our union. This is his inaugural address that he gave today. Please play LV3.
We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Together, we will determine the course of America and the world for many, many years to come. We will face challenges. We will confront hardships. But we will get the job done. Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. And we are grateful to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for their gracious aid throughout this transition. They have been magnificent. Thank you. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning, because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. That all changes, starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. We are one nation. And their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams. And their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. And spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world. But that is the past. And now we are looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. America will start winning again, winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation. We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. Finally, we must think big and dream even bigger. In America, we understand that a nation is only living as long as it is striving. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining but never doing anything about it. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. Do not allow anyone to tell you that it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will not fail. Our country will thrive and prosper again. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget. That whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same Almighty Creator. So to all Americans in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. And your courage and goodness and love will forever guide us along the way. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you. God bless America.
Now, Eric, here is the kicker, and I want everybody to understand this. This is news that just came out today. So already, of course, if you dissect that speech, he's talking about non-interventionalism anymore, that the other nations have a right to choose what to do in their nation. He is talking against UN and NATO type situations with our military taking orders from the foreign leaders and invading these other countries. When he was talking about the corrupt politicians, and he was talking about all these other things, that if you dissect, it is huge. So what he has already done, and or whether it's him himself or it's by the effect of him being inaugurated, let me tell you what has already happened and begun happening, because we expose UN Agenda 21. We expose all of this stuff with the land grabs. This has a lot of the reason to do with why Tom is sitting in jail right now. He's a political prisoner, just as the Bundys, whether it be Ryan Bundy, Ammon Bundy, Cliven Bundy, Pete Santilli. We have a lot of political prisoners out there. So this is huge, what I'm getting ready to announce to you. All references to, quote, climate change, unquote, and the global warming initiatives were deleted from the White House website at noon today. At 11:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the official White House website had a lengthy information page about the threat of climate change and the steps the federal government had taken to fight it. At noon, at the instant Donald Trump took office, the page was gone, as well as any mention of climate change or global warming. A climate of change, perhaps the most stark contrast between the Obama administration and the Trump administration, is on, quote, global warming, unquote. The climate differences were visible today as the White House website scrubbed of all references to climate change at exactly noon today, just as President Donald Trump was sworn in. The Climate Depot statement says, quote, climate skeptics are thrilled that one of the very first visible changes of the transition of power between President Obama and President Trump is the booting of climate change from the White House website. Trump is truly going to make science great again and reject the notion that humans are the control knob of the climate and UN treaties and EPA regulations can somehow regulate temperature and storminess. Welcome to the era of sound science. Note, skeptical film Climate Hustle, now available as streaming video on demand, to greet Gore's sequel, meteorologist and Weather Channel founder John Coleman had one word to describe the White House climate website changes. Hooray! Coleman, a climate skeptic, tweeted, also see Weather Channel founder Gore's An Inconvenient Sequel will be another scientific monstrosity. Before, you could see the climate information on there. And in the report, it shows exactly what it looked like because they got a screenshot. This is what it now says. An individual had tweeted, update with the White House climate change page is now removed. A pledge to increase drilling has been added as part of an American First energy plan. She says, it has started. Trump took down the White House climate change page and put up a pledge to drill lots of oil, an American energy first, an American first energy plan. Energy is an essential part of American life and a staple of the world economy. The Trump administration is committed to energy policies that lower costs for hardworking Americans and maximize the use of American resources, freeing us from the dependence on foreign oil. For too long, we've been held back by burdensome regulations on our energy industry. President Trump is committed to eliminating harmful and unnecessary policies such as the Climate Action Plan and the Waters of the U.S. rule. Lifting these restrictions will greatly help American workers, increasing wages by more than $30 billion over the next 7 years. Now, this is something I wanted to point out. There are a lot of individuals sitting in prison right now because they dug ponds on their own private property because the Waters of the U.S. rule. That is now looking to be changed. I have all these links in my everything that I'm going over tonight and speaking with you about. I am going to have on my Google Plus Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast link collection so that you can read the full article. So another thing that is going on, Grind All 61. He has been on this show with me before, and he explains this much better than I ever could. So I'm going to share a clip of him explaining it. This is about the net neutrality, and this is about Mr. President Trump's new appointee. And the net neutrality, the best that I can explain it, is the net neutrality was a trick and placed internet into control of foreign hands. So I will let Grindall 61 explain to you what has just happened today that is good news for the American people as well. If Mike, if you could go ahead and play LV6.
Today is January 20, 2017. FCC commissioner warns about political censorship of websites is threatened for opposing net neutrality. FCC commissioner, feds may come for Drudge. He was warning us. Ajit Pai, net neutrality will help foreign leaders control the internet. FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai, net neutrality doing to internet what Obamacare did to healthcare. And the reason why I am showing you all that is because we have more great news today. President Trump has selected Ajit Pai to be the head of the Federal Communications Commission. President Donald Trump has reportedly picked a fierce critic of the Obama-era net neutrality rules to be chief regulator of the nation's airwaves and internet connections. Citing unidentified people, Bloomberg and Politico both reported Friday that the next chairman of the Federal Communications Commission will be Ajit Pai, an old hand at the agency. Pai's chief of staff, Matthew Berry, declined to comment. FCC spokesman did not immediately reply to emails. Pai is one of two Republican commissioners on a five-member panel that regulates the country's communications infrastructure, including TV, phone, and internet service. The Republicans' FCC majority will help them roll back pro-consumer policies that upset many phone and cable industry groups, including net neutrality rules that bar internet service providers from favoring websites and apps over others. And keep in mind that this is from the Associated Press, so of course, they're putting their pro-Obama lefty spin on all this, but I know exactly what's going on here, because back in 2015 when this was in the news, I covered this extensively. Back when all this was going on, it was very controversial. This was a prime example of our lives being run by unelected boards and commissions, in this case, the five-member panel of the FCC. This whole thing was done in secret. We were not allowed to see the documents until about 2 months after they were passed. So this was just like Obamacare. We couldn't find out what was in it until after it was passed. Congress tried to stop that. It says right here, Senator John Thune is proposing a bill that would let Congress, rather than regulators, set the terms for net neutrality. And that didn't matter because the five-member panel passed net neutrality anyway without any of us even knowing what it was at the time. And so this is a different article. Down here on the bottom left, it says, Democrats have dismissed the legislation, saying it would limit the FCC's ability to police the internet for abuses. And if you read those net neutrality documents after they were released, we found out that there was all kinds of language about how the end user was going to be treated. That means you and I. They were setting up a framework that was going to legally allow the federal government to censor the internet. And then down here at the bottom right, it says, in November, President Obama publicly urged the FCC to reclassify broadband as a utility-like service. So Obama was behind this, and we all know that if Obama said it was good, it was bad. And back when all this was going on, I had made a video that Obama had shifted course, that he was really no longer using executive orders to run our lives. Instead, he was starting to use the regulatory agencies to do his bidding. And then from the same article, Tom Wheeler, who was the head of the FCC at the time and an Obama appointee, it says, Wheeler's latest proposal closely tracks Obama's request. So basically, this was all Obama's brainchild, but Obama was not the face of the decision. Instead, it was the five-member panel of the FCC. But that's all over now. It's a new day, and we have a new president, and that president has appointed Obama's most outspoken opposition during that time period to head up the FCC. It's a great day to be an American.
So that is one more thing that is going on that has already been done today. But also I want to report that when Donald Trump entered the Oval Office for the first time as president, it is being reported he immediately signed executive order to ease the burden of Obamacare. And this is what the report states. President Donald Trump wasted no time after his Oval official White House arrival on Friday night, heading straight to the Oval Office where he signed his first executive orders since arriving at the White House. President Trump christened the Resolute Desk by signing an order to confirm General James Mattis as Secretary of Defense and another to ease the burden of Obamacare. He has already made changes to the Oval Office decor, swapping its formerly crimson drapes for gold curtains and putting back in their former places busts of the former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Later, he'll of course attend three inaugural balls with the First Lady before spending his first night at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. President Trump's Obamacare order directs every government agency that implements or enforces the Obamacare law to grant waivers, deferments, exemptions, and delays in order to minimize or eliminate any costs associated with implementing Obama's signature medical insurance scheme. It also orders agencies to bend over backwards in order to provide greater flexibility to states and cooperate with them in impending health care programs. And in a nod to Trump's oft-stated goal of erasing geographic boundaries that established state-specific monopolies for insurers, his order requires federal agencies to encourage the development of a free and open market in the interstate commerce for the offering of health care services and health insurance, with the goal of achieving and preserving maximum options for patients and consumers. It states moments earlier, Trump had signed government commissions making James Mad Dog Mattis the Secretary of Defense and John Kelly the Homeland Security Secretary. Both men are retired U.S. Marine Corps generals and were sworn in moments earlier by Vice President Mike Pence. Trump's first official act as president was to sign a law allowing Mattis to serve as the Pentagon chief before he had been retired for the required 7 years. Oh boy, Trump told House Speaker Ryan as he held it in his hand after his U.S. Capitol swearing in. Trump had already begun to put his mark on the office that will be his workstation for the last, for at least the next 4 years. Minutes before taking his seat in the Oval Office, President and First Lady Melania Trump made their way inside after watching the inaugural parade from the reviewing stand on the North Lawn. They will attend 3 inaugural balls on Friday night, capping off a marathon day of events for the couple and their family. And, of course, I will leave a link so that you can read the rest of the article below. So I wanted you to know that a lot of things are in the process already on the first day. Now, on Monday, we're going to probably start with our dissecting again, Eric, like we always do. However, with the way that things are looking, we have to give benefit of the doubt to a point. You know, we trust is earned. It's not freely given. And the American people have been run over quite a lot of times. So, you know, we have to make sure that we also keep an eye out for that. I also wanted to point out, as we have these paid protesters over on the outs, they're not inside the celebration of the inauguration, but they are definitely disrupting on the outside of the gates. Some have set fires to one a limo and broken glass and broken store windows and all the such like that. As they are throwing temper tantrums like children, I will tell you one report that I found very amusing, and this was reported in the Gateway Pundit, and they actually have video proof of this, which is pretty amazing, because there were protesters in Russia unrolling an, quote, Obama burn in hell, unquote, banner in front of the U.S. Embassy, and that was reported on January the 18th of 2017.
I'm pretty sure their wish will be granted.
Well, you know, unless he repents and repentance, you know, everybody has that option. And I don't wish for anybody to, you know, go to hell, but just depends if you're going to repent and turn from your wicked ways or not. So that is some of the things that is going on. And there is one video that was also out, that was put out, and it's mistitled, in my opinion, because I watched it 3 times to make sure. But on the outskirts, as you know, on the outskirts, you've got the bikers for Trump that are out there to protect the people who are going in, and they are out there to protect the other individuals from being able to go in to create destruction and havoc and harm individuals. Well, there is one video that is out there. It's titled Biker for Trump Punches Mouthy Protester. Well, that's not really the case, because when you watch it, you can see that there's two protesters, and it's a kind of like a squabble going on between the two protesters, and the bikers for Trump jumped in and pulled them apart and took and put one in the midst of the bikers and the other one to a different area so that it didn't escalate. The bikers for Trump on that one, very good job to keep things from going. Another bit of interesting news, and I do want to say I will be called at the second half of the show. I want to give that number, 1-800-313-9443,
And please call in. We have about 5 minutes before the second half of the show. So the other interesting information, and Eric, I know you're going to find this funny, as well as our listeners, Valparaiso, and I hope I said that correctly, Valparaiso YMCA was accused of censorship after banning CNN from their TVs. Yes.
Banning what?
They have now banned CNN from their TVs. It states, Chicago CBS is reporting, not long after President-elect Donald Trump accused CNN of being fake news and refused question from CNN reporter, the Valparaiso family, YMCA, has declared the channel off-limits in its workout room. To me, it's blatant. This is one individual who says, to me, it's blatant censorship that I find surprising, that Greg Corci, who is a member of the YMCA in the Valparaiso for more than a decade. He says CNN has been a fixture on TV at the Valparaiso Y for years. Quote, the timing of this was very peculiar because I think it was basically a day or two after Mr. Trump claimed CNN was fake news. Valparaiso, the YMCA member, Greg Quartorci, said, I think they switched to the cooking channel. He said the Y turned off CNN shortly after Trump's angry confrontation with CNN correspondent Jim Acosta at the news conference last week. When Acosta tried to ask the question at Trump's first post-election news conference, President-elect repeatedly shut him down. Quartorci said that the Y has given in to a, quote, minority who complained about CNN. He called it blatant censorship. No. So this is what is being said. Valparaiso for the Y, his statement, he said, quote, it is a Christian organization. It is all about freedom and opportunity. And what they're doing, I personally think, is against what they have on their walls and against what they have as their mission, he said.
Yeah, quote, I mean, they have a right to say what they're going to play. I mean, that's part of freedom. I don't see it being discriminatory. And CNN's in the toilet with, like, porno. I mean, that's
right. So it says, in order to eliminate perceived political bias associated with national news outlets, the Valparaiso family, YMCA, will only be showing local news channels in the future. And on that note, we'll be right back with you after a couple of words from our network sponsors.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.